Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And we're sponsored today by Dollar Shave Club. Stop spending a fortune on gimmicky shave tech that you just don't need. Make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. Get your first month for only $5. $5 with free shipping by going to dollarshaveclub.com/martini. Much more on that later in the podcast. Let's start with our good martini, Jim, and it's the Democratic agenda that they're forging for 2018. The Democrats, to their credit and a little bit to our chagrin, have realized that maybe they had something to do with the fact that they lost so badly in 2016. We were kind of enjoying them living in denial all this time, but they've come to grips a little bit. But the good news here is that their agenda for winning back the trust and confidence of the American people is pretty much what their agenda has always been. So here's the AP version of the story. Democratic leaders believe they lost to President Donald Trump partly because voters don't know what the party stands for. So they're trying to rebrand themselves with a new slogan and a populist new agenda as they look ahead to the 2018 midterms. It's called A Better Deal. And House and Senate Democratic leaders are rolling it out Monday afternoon in Berryville, Virginia. They're intentionally traveling outside the Beltway by a few minutes and into the district of one of the GOP House members they hope to defeat next year, Barbara Comstock. Over the weekend on ABC's This Week program, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said, quote, when you lose an election with someone who has, say, 40% popularity, you look in the mirror and say, what did we do wrong? And the number one thing that we did wrong is we didn't tell people what we stood for. And apparently what they stand for, Jim, is what they've always stood for. They have three big planks that they're unveiling today. One is lowering prescription drug prices. Suggestions include a new agency that could investigate drug manufacturer price hikes, and they would allow Medicare to negotiate directly for the best drug prices. Cracking down on corporate monopolies. And the third one is creating millions more jobs. So why didn't we think of that? The agenda includes proposals for expanding apprenticeships and providing a tax credit to employers to train and hire new workers. I've heard, although it's not in the story, that raising the minimum wage is another cog in this economic engine for the Democrats. So somehow they're going to create millions of jobs and raise the minimum wage. So that'll be a fun parlor trick. Jim, what do you make of their approach here?
So, you know, when Schumer says the number one thing we did wrong is we didn't tell people what we stood for, it's going to be really interesting news to the Hillary Clinton campaign. because I think they would say, no, she did plenty of that. And in fact, you know, for everything that the Hillary Clinton campaign did wrong, you look back to the Democratic convention in Philadelphia, I don't think it's really that much that they forgot to mention their agenda. I think they spelled it out. I think one problem was the lack of popularity of the agenda, and the two, the Hillary Clinton agenda was really not all that different from the Barack Obama agenda. It was more of the same, or as one of my old teachers used to say in high school, maybe we should say it was more so. And I don't think that, you know, most Americans feeling like they had not really gained much ground during the Obama years, we're like, you know what? This isn't working for me. I'm willing to try something different. So they say, okay, here we are. Here's what we stand for. Lower prescription drug costs. Again, you want to investigate the prescription drug companies? Great. We haven't done any of that before. Oh, wait, we do that every single time. The same way we do this every time gas prices get too high. The idea, and all of a sudden, the suspect always turns out to be supply and demand, with a couple of exceptions, like maybe the EpiPen. I don't know if Senator Joe Manchin will get totally behind that. considering how his daughter is the CEO of the company that makes the EpiPen. But anyway, the next one is, you know, increased broadband to rural areas. I'm not going to object to that. I have a very hard time seeing the House of Representatives flipping because Democrats say they support this. You mentioned the $15 an hour minimum wage and more regulation of Wall Street. Boy, we've never heard that before from Democrats. Now, have we? So this grand unveiling that they're doing outside the Beltway, the way I'm outside the Beltway, Greg. In fact, I got to get out the tape measure to see whether I'm, you know, further from it or they are. This is it. This is the grand new sweeping, bold new agenda. It's the same old stuff. I have a very, you know, very hard time. Now, the other thing is that he was asked about healthcare reform. And he says, many things are on the table, Mr. Schumer said. Medicare for people above 55. Is on the table. Now we have, it kicks in during the 60s. So this is not a huge sweeping change. A buy into Medicare is on the table. Buy into Medicaid is on the table. Eventually the table starts to creak and wobble because there are so many things that are on the table, but none of them are specifically the Democratic proposal. And among them, you know, there are certainly plenty of Democrats who would say they support single payer. Somebody pointed out, it was a very good comparison, that, you know, Republicans voted to repeal all of Obamacare without a replacement several times while Obama was a president, because they knew Obama would never sign it.
Right.
Single payer is like that for Democrats right now. They know it's never going to pass. So they can say they support it till the cows come home, and they can, you know, talk about how great it is and totally dodge the questions of how you pay for it, because it's all theoretical right now. At some point, someday, there'll be another Democratic president. Some would argue, would wonder how much of a Republican president we have right now. It'll become reality, and all of a sudden they'll have to figure out how to pay for it. But until then, this is their happy, perfect, shining, ethereal ideal of healthcare that they can talk about and never really get pressed too hard on how they would make it work, because they're in no position to make it work, and won't be until both Trump and Pence are impeached or until January 2021 at the earliest.
Wow. Well, you know, speaking of agendas, Jim, as we transition to the bad martini, could you imagine how conservatives would respond to a Democratic nominee, really at any level, could be president, could be Senate, House, governorship, whatever, if one of them in 2012 had reacted to the Sandy Hook elementary school shootings with a call for gun control, or somebody said, we have 5% of the world's population, but 50% of the world's guns, enough is enough. It is just common sense that we apply more controls, also in favor of gay marriage, and also not in favor of a wall, saying walls don't work, never have, never will. Well, the bad news for conservatives is that that's your new communications director at the White House, Anthony Scaramucci. Back in about 2012, he pretty much held liberal positions on a lot of the bread and butter issues. He also donated to Hillary Clinton. He's pro-choice and a lot of other things that normally would make a lot of Republicans and conservatives turn up their noses. But apparently we live in a new era, Jim. And the next thing we need to point out here is that apparently the staff shakeups might be over, or they might not be over. With the Trump era, you never know. The reports happen every day that different people are on their last legs in the White House. What we're learning over at Axios is that potentially more trouble for Jeff Sessions. Quote, President Trump is so unhappy with Attorney General Jeff Sessions that he has raised the possibility of bringing back Rudolph Giuliani to head the Justice Department, according to West Wing confidants. In internal conversations, Trump has recently pondered the idea of nominating Giuliani, a stalwart of his campaign. Even before last week's blast at Sessions in a New York Times interview, Trump had expressed fury at Sessions, also one of the first prominent Republicans to back the Trump campaign, for recusing himself from the Russia investigation. And in a tweet this morning, Trump referred to, quote, our beleaguered AG not investigating Hillary Clinton. So I'm sure Rudy Giuliani's breathing a sigh of relief that he's moved from almost getting executed, Jim, to possibly heading the Justice Department. So good news for him, I guess. Overall, the rumor mill keeps grinding, and obviously it takes attention off the agenda that the people sent the Trump administration there to accomplish.
Yeah. Now, look, you and I have laughed about how many Trump is considering stories we've seen over the past 7 months, 7 years, does it feel like? Anyway, that basically, yeah, Trump is always considering this. But we did see a genuine, and I think it kind of a surprising change with Sean Spicer abruptly announcing his resignation once Scaramucci came in as communications director. Huckabee Sanders will be taking over the White House press secretary job, and congratulations to her. A lot of people, the buzz coming out of it was that Spicer had a real beef with the idea of working for Scaramucci, with Scaramucci being White House communications director. And it has not taken long that there's a lot of talk that Scaramucci may be replacing Reince Priebus. Now, you and I have talked before that the skepticism that Priebus is really the problem with the White House. You can bring in a completely different chief of staff, but at the end, you know, the good portion of the president's problems come from his own tweeting, from his own decision making, his own arbitrary sudden shifts and things like that. Sean Spicer, as has been mentioned, had a 1-hour warning about the firing of James Comey. If you want to make a big controversial decision like that, you need your team to be brought on board. Spicer was not informed of the president's comments in that interview with the New York Times, where he criticized Jeff Sessions. Again, if you don't prepare your team for the decisions you're going to make, they're going to get caught blindsided. They're going to get caught scrambling and attempting to put out messaging for your decisions and things like that. So I don't think that's really a Reince Priebus problem. I don't know if Anthony Scaramucci moving into that position is going to change much of that. And as for Sessions, look, Greg, it was like 6 months ago we had this Herculean push to make him attorney general. And within a couple of months, Trump wants to get rid of him. This is, you know, like, can we just pick a team and stick to it? The other thing which has been mentioned is that I feel like I've heard Rudy Giuliani's name mentioned for a lot of jobs, both with Trump, formally with the campaign, all kinds of stuff like that. Giuliani Partners remains, as I understand it, completely, you know, unbelievably lucrative. Rudy Giuliani has a wonderful life right now. He's getting up there in years. He wants to enjoy his golden years. So my suspicion is that Giuliani will not be jumping into this because the job of attorney general is difficult under the best of circumstances. And as Jeff Sessions is learning, you never know when the president is going to suddenly come out and say, you know, I don't understand why he's doing this. If I knew he was going to make that decision, I never would have hired him. He'll start tweeting about you being beleaguered. And why isn't my AG doing this? You know, Mr. President, there is a phone. You can call up Jeff Sessions and say, hey, why aren't you investigating Hillary Clinton? You can do that. You're allowed to ask, you know, and Sessions may give you an answer you like, you may not. You also can fire him instead of this ritualistic humiliation every couple of days until he quits out of frustration. But I'll completely understand if Jeff Sessions looks a little tired, a little haggard after all the completely unnecessary grief and aggravation he's getting. If he looks a little unshaven, though, I have something that probably worked very well for him. Could you guess what it is, Greg?
Dollar Shave Club.
You got it. Dollar Shave Club is the smarter choice because you'll get a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door. It is a no-brainer because you no longer have to schlep to the store to buy a cheap disposable razor that gives you a cheap shave. No longer do you need to spend a fortune on razors with gimmicky shaving tech you don't need. Now, I have a personal anecdote to share. The box for Dollar Shave Club was on my desk in my home office. Mrs. Campaign Spot, my wife comes in. It's not her real name for all of you both of you have asked that. Comes in, what's this? Oh, this is Dollar Shave Club. She opens it up. She says, this is nice. She's looking at the razors, the handle it provides for you. But what really impressed her was the Dr. Carver's shave butter, which is transparent for a more precise shave and helps prevent ingrown hairs and fights razor bumps. So she's impressed. She's impressed with the smoothness of my face. So, gentlemen, this is definitely worth considering if you want to impress the lady in your life.
Awesome. Now, listeners to 3 Martini Lunch can make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. For a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors just a few bucks a month, and you get the reaction that Jim got. So if you want to impress the lady in your life, as he said, this is the right move to do so. Plus, it'll just feel good, and it's a great quality shave for very little money. $15 value for only $5. In your first month box, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of 4 cartridges, and a tube of the shave butter. After your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically at their regular price. There are no hidden fees, none, no commitments at all. Cancel anytime you like. You are in complete control of this arrangement. You can only get this offer exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/martini. dollarshaveclub.com/martini. All right, let's move on to the crazy martini. And Jim, this one's so crazy that Kid Rock leading Debbie Stabenow in the polls is not the crazy martini.
So it's, high bar to clear.
It is a high bar to clear, although we're actually pretty happy to see that. It's only one poll, and most people are still undecided. But that's not the crazy martini, so we're going to stop talking about that. FoxNews.com. Michael Phelps tried to make it clear to his fans that he wouldn't actually be side-by-side racing a great white shark for Discovery Channel's Phelps versus Shark, Great Gold versus Great White event. But when some viewers saw the final product, they slammed the show's use of CGI for the big race. Phelps raced, quote-unquote, the shark as part of Discovery Channel's annual Shark Week. He competed in the ocean against a computer-simulated fish. It's not a fish, people. It's a shark. It's not a... They aren't fish. Based on data on the swimming speed of sharks. But some viewers expressed disappointment over the show's use of CGI. This guy, Jack Saunders. Turns out Michael Phelps races a shark was really Michael Phelps swims alone and compares his time to a CGI shark's time. Disgusted. This guy, SPO, I spent 60 minutes of my life watching a build-up to Michael Phelps race a fake computer-generated shark. I'm PO'd, let's just put it that way. Carly, I was way too pumped to watch Michael Phelps race that dang shark, for it to be fake Shark Week is off to a horrible start. The fact that people are actually mad that Phelps didn't race a real shark, what did anyone expect? So, Jim, apparently they couldn't find an Olympic-sized pool for these two to race side-by-side. I think that's apparently what millions of people apparently expected here. In the end, the CGI shark defeated Michael Phelps. Fortunately, there wasn't a real shark that accidentally ate him along the way. So what do you make of the spectacle, and what do you make of the reaction?
All right, so I only heard about this afterwards, but Greg, if you had heard, hey, for Shark Week, they're having Michael Phelps race a real shark, you would tune in, right?
Yeah, if I'd heard about
it. The entire world would be like, okay, yes, we've got, because there's like the risk of Michael Phelps, the greatest Olympian of all time by some measurements, getting eaten by a shark on live television. Just, you don't want to miss that, right? That's like the OJ chase. That's a television history. You know, it's a terrible end to the great life of Michael Phelps, but it would be really exciting. And it would be probably, you know, considering all the terrible Jaws sequels we had to sit through, this would finally be a you know, worthy successor to that infamous movie. But instead, no, we have to go with the computer generated one. And I think the complaints that computer generated effects are not nearly as good as practical effects applies to this circumstance. Just imagine a pool, Greg, where you put like a plexiglass barrier between them, right? And you, it's like a long, like watery tunnel that the shark can swim down, where it can only go in one direction. So you can measure it from the starting line or from that. And you have Phelps right next to it. And maybe he'd be bumping against the plexiglass trying to eat Michael Phelps. That would be exciting, wouldn't it?
Maybe not if you're Phelps, but to us, it probably would be.
I want to see how, like, does being utterly terrified make Michael Phelps swim faster or slower? You know, I know they can smell blood in the water. We'll see if they can smell other things. I don't know if that's a little too off color for our podcast.
Oh, man. So Fonzie literally jumped the shark. Michael Phelps raced the CGI shark.
Yeah.
Maybe Shark Week has jumped the shark. That would be ironic. Yeah. Wow. So what's next? If Phelps races a shark, what other athlete versus animal competitions can we come up with?
I want
here?
A cheetah to chase Usain Bolt. I want, you know, those guys who go paragliding, who jump off the edge of the mountain in their little webbed wings and they kind of fly down the side. And because of the air resistance, they don't go smack on the side of the mountain.
Right, right.
Can we get like a hawk or an eagle to chase one of those guys? I like this idea of animals pursuing humans. It'd be a fascinating television. We can learn a lot about nature, and we can learn to avoid predatory animals. So I like that.
So you're more interested in the chase than the actual race.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of, you know, the because here's the thing. It's only in the chase that they're truly motivated to win the race, Greg.
All right, let's cut to the chase here then. Who do you want Tom Brady to be running away from?
Oh, God. Can we restore the T-Rexes? Jurassic Park, you know, maybe all those Super Bowl rings would get stuck in the teeth, but otherwise, you know, I could enjoy that.
Wow, it's got a little darker than I expected, but still very entertaining. Jim, interesting way to start the week. Don't know if this will be a one and done here with Phelps versus the shark. Maybe they'll actually do it next year and take some of your recommendations. But
there we go, all for free, Animal Planet. Just letting you know, all right? And jazz it up, make it a little more exciting.
And we had a good martini on a Monday this week, so you know,
there we go.
All good. Jim, have a good day. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to visit our friends at Dollar Shave Club. Remember, you can get $15 in value for only $5. DollarShaveClub.com/martini. And tune in on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.